I bring you greetings from New Life Bible Presbyterian Church, especially to those who are here for the first time. And I trust that this morning, as you come to seek the Lord, you will find Him. Find Him to be your Savior, your Lord. We are nearing, and before that, I want to thank those of you who have been praying for me and for all your phone calls during my past 1 week of stricken with perhaps it's gastric or some stomach pain, but it was severe enough to knock me out of action. And so I want to thank all of you for those of you who have called. I'm well, as you can see, sufficient to stand before you right now to bring you God's word. So thank you for your prayers. We are nearing the end of this year, and so for this Sunday and in the coming Sundays of this month, I thought it is good for us to look into the various subjects of the Bible, particularly to do with our soul, our eternal life, our salvation in Christ, and also to do a reflection, evaluation, if you like, of what and how we have fared this year. A time of reflection indeed. So we'll be looking at some of these things from the Word of God, and also, God willing, if the Lord tarries, we also want to consider to prepare ourselves for the new year, if the Lord so give us another year. I thought we ought to and should consider this very carefully as the year draws to a close. It is a good time to sober up, to examine ourselves in the light of Scripture. This morning, our meditation, I would like to invite you to a heavenly banquet, specially prepared for you and for me by the Lord Jesus. This passage, in the form of a parable, presents to us a heavenly banquet ready for all to attend. It speaks of the kingdom of God, offered to all who would come, regardless of who they may be. Some of you perhaps are familiar with these parables. You have heard it many times. But I thought it is necessary for us to be reminded of these things once again. For oftentimes we are so used to, especially those of us who have been believers or Christian for a long time, and we think that we know the Word of God in and out. But it is good to reflect, to re-examine the real issues, our salvation in the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? And are we in the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus begins this parable, which I call it the heavenly banquet, after one of the guests make this remark in verse 15. Please turn to your Bibles in chapter 14 of Luke. Luke chapter 14, and you see in verse 15, this man said to the Lord Jesus, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." This man was probably one of the Pharisees who were invited for this dinner or this supper. And perhaps he was thinking of that great feast during the reign of their Messiah, where the Jews were all partaking. And that's how the Pharisees think, that they are the chosen one and every one of them will be at the feast, that great feast. of the Messiah, and how wrong this man can be. And so Jesus has to come in this part, at this point, to make it very clear to them through this parable. When he made this statement, this man may be thinking, because Jesus said in verse 14, the resurrection of the just. And so he thought that, well, that would be the day where all the Jews can look forward to. And so he said, blessed are those who will be at the feast, eat bread in the kingdom of God. And this prompted our Lord Jesus to speak to him and to the rest of the company this parable of the heavenly banquet. And so I want to invite you to come with me and see for yourself once again, and see afresh, especially for those of us who have been reading the Bible. It is good to look once again, to see afresh for ourselves what this heavenly banquet is all about, which the Lord Jesus had prepared for us. The first thing we notice of this heavenly banquet is that the grand banquet is ready. Verse 16 says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. This banquet is of grand scale. It is great. It is no ordinary banquet. The word great in the original means stately, means splendid. It is special. It is out of the ordinary. It is something that is not to be compared with. That is the force of the word great. It is not just a banquet or supper, but it is a great supper. And furthermore, in verse 17, it tells us that all things are now ready. All things are now ready, which is to say the banquet is ready for the guests, is ready to receive the guests. All things are now ready. Everything needed for this grand banquet is fully prepared for the guests. They are all in place and nothing is amiss. Nothing more to be done. Dear brethren, friends, and children, what these two verses are telling us or teaching us is that God has already made a grand or great provision for the saving of sinners like you and me. God has already a grand plan of salvation to save us right from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. This grand plan has already been accomplished by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. This grand plan of salvation is what we call, the Christian call in the Bible, or what the Bible calls the Gospel. The Gospel is the whole plan of God's salvation to reconcile or to bring sinners back to Himself. We are outside the banquet hall. Do you realize that? The guests, as in the parables, we are the guests. We are outside the banquet hall. And so right now the master of the banquet is inviting us to come for this heavenly banquet which he has already prepared for us. But we cannot go in. Why? Because we are lost in our sin. Sin has separated us from God. And we have to be invited to come in. Sin is, which many of us perhaps you know, we especially those of us who have been Christian, we use this word sin so frequently. But what exactly is sin? What is the meaning of sin? Is it something that is bad and that is wrong? Is that all about sin? Simply explained, sin is anything bad or wrong that is opposite to the laws of God. Sin is not just something that I have done against someone, or some unkind words that I have said to someone, or some evil thoughts that is up in my mind that I think about against somebody. It is not that. It is more than that. Sin is anything, anything we say, do, or think that goes clearly against the word of God. Whether we do it willfully, whether we do it out of ignorance, it is against God's word. And when we sin, we are in fact going against the word of God or the laws of God, and we are sinning against God. But by the grace and mercy of the Lord has prepared this grand banquet for us. He has a plan to save us, and it is shown clearly to us in the gospel. And how can we know this plan? This plan is from the word of God. It is found in this passage that there is this great plan already in place. This is what the grand, this heavenly banquet is all about. God is ready to receive us. And so he sent his servant to bid us all to come in. As you see in verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. You need not do anything for the banquet. There's nothing you can do about it for the banquet. It is all done for you. And all you need to do is to come into the banquet hall and to sup with the Lord Jesus. And so the essence of this parable of this heavenly banquet is this. The essence is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the essence of this grand banquet. He is offering to us sinners forgiveness of all our sins and to have peace with God. God whom we have sinned against. And so this banquet, and it is in this banquet that our Lord and Savior is offering to us salvation. Not only salvation, but he also proffers to us grace sufficient for each day and glory at the end of our journey. This is what the grand banquet is all about, friends. It is about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Jesus is personally inviting you and me to come to this heavenly banquet which he had prepared. He says again in verse 54 of John 6, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Of course, you know that all these verses have spiritual meaning. It is not the literal body and literal blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we are asked to eat and to drink of. It is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Savior and our Lord. The second thing we notice of this heavenly banquet is this, that the invitation is freely extended to all. That the invitation is freely extended to all. Please look at verses 21 to 23. Go quickly, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So you see here, dear friends and dear brethren and children, this grand banquet is not exclusively for members only. God's invitation to us is to us all, regardless of who you are. It is not only for the Jews, it is for the Gentiles, it is for you and for me, for all who would come to this heavenly banquet. This invitation has no restriction to the types of people. It does not depend on your social standing, your educational level, or your qualification, or your age. All kinds of people are invited to come to this grand banquet to dine with the Lord Jesus. It does not matter who you are. You may feel that you are a nobody, just by what is described to us, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, all these are considered the outcasts of our society, isn't it? They are treated very differently from the normal people. But this banquet is open to all who would come to the Lord Jesus. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter how bad or how sinful you may consider yourself to be. God the Heavenly Father is ready to receive all who would come to Him by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in these verses that there is an infinite willingness on God's part to save each one of us. He desired to save us. He desired that none should perish in sin. And so you and I have no excuse not to come for this grand banquet. God is not to be blamed if we should die in our sin and end up in hell. We already learned here that this heavenly banquet is not only fully ready to receive us here, but the invitation is also extended to all who would come. Not only the banquet is ready, fully ready to receive, but the invitation has gone out to every one of us. The word in verse 17, come, is very important. It is addressed to all without exception. If you are laboring, heavy laden, Jesus say unto you, I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. If you are spiritually thirsty, Jesus says, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37. If you are spiritually poor, hungry, Jesus says, come, buy wine and milk without money. Isaiah 55:1. What I'm trying to impress upon each one of us here this morning is that none of us can say that we have no incentive or no encouragement to come to seek salvation and to be delivered from our sins. We have no excuse. The door is always open. The door is always open. But of course, there is a qualification. The door will not be open forever. The invitation has been extended to you. You who have been coming Sunday after Sunday, listening, hearing the word of God, it is your responsibility to respond to this invitation. You have no excuse to come before God on the day of reckoning, on the day of judgment, none of us. In fact, the more you hear the word of God, the more you are responsible, and you have no excuse to tell God that I have no chance to hear the gospel. You have heard it, and you have heard it many, many, many times over. Every provision has been made for you to come for the heavenly banquet. You need not do anything. You need not bring anything for the banquet. You only need to receive the invitation and come. So the words of our Lord Jesus to us is this: him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. The third thing we notice of this heavenly banquet is that the invitation is rejected. The invitation is rejected. You read for yourselves in verses 18 to 20. We see in the earlier verses that when the servant announced that all things were ready, those who were invited, all with one consent, began to make an excuse. Verse 18. All with one consent began to make an excuse. Each of the invited guests has their respective excuse, which at the first reading seems to be lawful, seems to be justifiable, seems to be reasonable. But upon further perusal of their excuses, we find that it is all invalid. Invalid reasons for not coming to the heavenly banquet. They have one thing in common. They have said yes, when in fact they meant no. It proves that they have been very insincere. Furthermore, you see how shallow their excuses were. Let me explain to you, verses 18. And with one, the first one said to the Lord Jesus, I have bought a piece of land, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Do you buy and pay for a land without first seeing it? And so you see that this man has already paid for the land. He must have seen it. And now he makes this lame excuse that I have to go and see it. And the next one. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Do you do that? Do you pay for a car without test driving it? Before you, those of you who drive perhaps, and those of you who are thinking of buying a car, you just go in and buy and then pay for it. You test drive it, isn't it? And now he has already paid for it. He said, I need to go and test drive it to prove that whether this car is good. Wow, you're so rich, isn't it? Do you do that? Are you so rich that you pay first? Well, you're not happy with the car, then you ask for a refund. It is another plain excuse. Oh, the third one seems to be very reasonable. And another said, I have married a wife, and thereupon I cannot come. Again, it is lame excuse. Why? As for the third man, his excuse, even from the point of law in Deuteronomy 24:5, still does not stand. Why? Because though during the first year of his married life, he was exempted from military service, right? And from being charged with any public business. For example, you know, when we in our modern days, we have marriage leave, right? Even from that ground, it's not valid. Why? Because it does not deprive him of the right to attend a banquet. Just because you are married, you cannot go for a banquet. You cannot go for a wedding dinner, let's say your friend, or a birthday party, because you are married. In fact, all the more you should come. Bring your wife along. And let her, together with you, enjoy the banquet. To cheer up, isn't it? Bring her along to this grand feast. And I'm sure the master of the banquet will not reject. Because Jesus said to all those who come to him, he will no wise cast out. What we have here is a series of empty pretexts and trifling. In our present days, there is no difference, isn't it? Thousands are continuing to do what we are seeing here in these parables. This parable describes that, and many are doing the same thing. They are invited to come to the Lord Jesus, but they make all kinds of excuses, all sorts of excuses. If not outrightly, they are rejecting the gospel. They have 1,001 reasons for not receiving the gospel. Interestingly, I want to bring up to you that the 3 excuses given by the man here are the 3 things which are said to what? To choke the word in the parable of the sower in Mark 4:19. 3 excuses, these 3 excuses given by the man are the 3 things that said to choke the word in the parable of the sower. The first is this, the cares of this world. Mark 4:19. Second is the deceitfulness of riches. Mark 4:19 also. And the third is this, the pleasures of this life. Luke 8:14. But don't get me wrong. Therefore, getting married is seeking pleasures of the world. I'm not referring to that. Alright? But in its proper context, it means to say that the things of this life or the things that we want or desire takes over the place of God. Each differs from the other and each has its own plausibility, but they finally receive the same condemnation from the master of the banquet. Brethren and friends and children, we too are not very far. Each of us are not very far from these three men who made lame excuses, if we are honest with ourselves. At the end of the day, do you know what? It is not ignorance of the gospel that brings us into hell. It is not ignorance of the gospel that brings us to hell. We all have the Bible. We all can freely go into any of those Christian bookshops to buy a Bible, then read it. We all have perhaps 4 or 5 copies in the shelves in our home. It is not ignorance of the gospel that will bring each one of us to hell, but the lack of the will to accept the invitation, or the love of this life and the things of this world that will bring us to hell, and even bring those who profess to be Christian. We have no excuse, brothers and sisters in Christ. As I said, each one of us, you are given free access to the gospel. The word of God has been given to you Sunday after Sunday. During the weekdays, you have the choice to read the word of God, to know the gospel for yourself, and to respond to it, because it is your responsibility to respond. You and I are not living in a world deprived of Bibles, of the word of God. You and I are not stopped from going to churches to listen to the word of God. You and I have the clear instruction of the word of God. The invitation is given to each one of us, and we are responsible for it. And if we reject, God is not to be blamed, but you and I to be blamed. In these days, it is not plain lack of interest that empties the church, but it is the excessive attention to the things of this life, which in themselves are reasonable and lawful. It is not the outright dislike of the gospel which we must fear. It is the procrastinating, the waiting game, the excuse-making spirit, which is always ready with a reason why they should refuse the gospel invitation. We have already seen that not only the heavenly banquet is grand and it is all ready to receive us, we have also been extended the full invitation, and now we conclude here that no excuse can justify us in refusing God's invitation to us and not coming to Christ and not responding to the invitation to this heavenly banquet. The fourth and final thing we notice of this heavenly banquet is this: the generosity of the banquet master. When the servant reported that there is yet room, the banquet master called out to his servant in verse 23, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Oh, how generous and how wonderful is our Lord Jesus! Does this not remind us of the word of the Apostle Peter? When Peter says these words, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9. Brethren, friends and children, the writer of Hebrews is also appealing to us all. He says, Today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, as in the days like the children of Israel. They tempted God, they tested God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And so the servant was told to compel them to come into the banquet. And so those of you who are believers, listen to this. Those of you who are Christian, who are truly born again, do not think that this parable is only for the non-believers. This parable is speaking to us too. It is for you and for me. We are the servant of the master, whom the master of the banquet had instructed us to go out to compel them to come in. The servants that refer to us, who are believers. We have the responsibility to go out, first to our family, to compel them to come in. Are you doing that? Are you occupying yourselves with the many cares of this world? That you have no time, no concern for your loved ones, whether they are in Christ or not. You are more concerned with other things, which I have said just now. What did I say just now? In themselves are reasonable and lawful. But it is the excessive attention to all these things that are lawful that will bring us finally to hell. That draws us away from our service for the Lord. It is the excessive attention to all this. It is in itself lawful, reasonable. It is not wrong. It is no sin to attend to our studies, to our work, to our leisures, to our recreation. When the time for it to do so, we should rest. But is it not true, if we honestly examine ourselves, that we are occupying ourselves with so many cares of this world that we have no concern at all? Our minds are filled with project deadlines and all that. We have little or no concern whether our brothers and our sisters, our parents are born again or Christians or not. Is it not true? Let us not pretend. I'm also guilty of that. And perhaps because my whole family is all right now in Christ except for my brother, and therefore I rest on my laurel. But let us ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, those of us who are Christians, think very carefully. The banquet is ready for a long, long while and is still waiting for many more to come in. If you are outside the heavenly banquet, why wait? Why are you waiting? Is it not sufficient? Have you not heard enough of the gospel? Is your friend extending that invitation to you not enough? You need us to lay out the red carpet to you, and therefore then you will only come, or what? What will move you to come? What will move you to respond to the gospel? If simple, sincere invitation to you is extended and graciously extended to you, and you are persuaded time and again to come, and you reject and make excuses, what can you say? Can God be blamed? And for those of us who are believers, sitting down so comfortably, are you moved? You notice the word in verse 21, when the master instructed the servant to go out. He did not say, go out into the streets. Notice the word there. What is the word? Quickly! I have already highlighted to all of us, every word in the Word of God is not for there to fill up the space. Go out quickly! Are you concerned, Christians? You call yourself Christians? We profess ourselves to be Christians? Are you going out quickly? Oh, take our own sweet time. It's alright. Never mind. There's no track. So we'll go next week. Tomorrow, perhaps. Well, wait for the preacher to order more tracks. And then we'll go. Doesn't matter if today is raining. Well, we can go tomorrow. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. That's the instruction to us. The servant. Those of us who are servants. Servants of the Lord. Don't claim that title. If you are not going out quickly, don't call yourself servants of the Lord. If we are not following the instruction of the Master. Oh friends, children and brethren, time is running fast. and time is running out. This heavenly banquet will begin soon. And of course, this refers to the day when finally the door will shut and the heavenly banquet will begin. Will begin in heaven, when all the gathered saints will meet and finally have that eternal supper with the Lord Jesus. That is the final day. It will begin. It will not wait for you forever. It will soon begin. And once the Master's house is filled up, those who were invited previously will not be given a second chance. Listen and consider this very, very carefully, brothers and sisters in Christ. Once the Master's house is filled up, those who were invited previously were told what? In verse 24, look at it. They will not be even given a second chance to taste of the supper. This is what verse 24 is teaching us. No second chance. When the door is shut for the heavenly banquet to begin, you can scream all you want, shout all you want, bang the door all you want. You will not be given a second chance to respond to the gospel invitation. It will be closed to you for all eternity. Consider this invitation to the heavenly banquet very soberly, both for the believers and those who are still seeking. This is not a parable just to entertain us, tickle our ears. It is meant to stir us to think soberly. Consider very carefully while you still have the time and the opportunity. Because if we make the wrong decision, if you are not going to accept the invitation to the heavenly banquet, the blame is not on the master of the banquet. The blame will lie squarely on you. Where would you end up if you are not at this heavenly banquet? Brothers and sisters, friends and children, this morning we ought to consider this very carefully. Especially for those of us who have been Christian for a long time, sitting here Sunday after Sunday, going to church services, listening to the Word of God. You who have received the gospel, are you going out quickly? If not, why not ask the Savior? Why not ask the Lord Jesus? By His Holy Spirit, stir our hearts up, warm our hearts once again, that we may go out to tell others of this heavenly banquet, to invite them in. Please realize the urgency of time. Those who are younger, as I mentioned before to you, do not think that you are in the prime of your life, therefore you have all the time in the world. Check with any medical staff or medical doctors, they will tell you. And you have heard many times over, you have seen for yourself, young men, young women, in the prime of their life, when they think the whole future is bright before them, and they are suddenly struck down with unknown diseases, and they are taken. For those who are older, worse still, you cannot afford to fall sick. That may be your last sickness, and you will go, especially for those of us who are aging. Oh, friends, consider very carefully. The invitation is given. It is all ready. You need not do anything. Just come simply as you are to the Lord Jesus to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And He promised for the remaining days of your life here, He promised you the help of the Holy Spirit. Grace sufficient for each day to persevere on, even in the face of all the troubles and difficulties that will come your way. And finally, He promised you that eternal hope, the hope of glory, to dine with the Lord Jesus, to be with the Heavenly Father in that heavenly banquet for all eternity. Let us pray. Our mighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your holy word. We thank Thee for this invitation to the heavenly banquet. O Father in heaven, may Thou help us, I pray, that we may respond and be stirred up to turn to Thee in repentance and in worship, that we may render unto You our whole life, our all, in holy service. O Father, for those who are still considering, for those who think that they are in the Lord, but they are actually not, Father, help us to be awakened, to realize the danger we are in. O Lord, we pray that You will, by Your mighty Spirit, lead us unto Yourself. Help us. Help and hear our cry and our call to You. In Jesus' name. Amen.